Welcome, Spartans, to Mission Debrief. We're playing every mission of the mainline Halo video game series in chronological order, discussing our experiences and sprinkling in a little lore along the way. If you'd like to play along and have your thoughts read on the show, email us at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. We'll be playing the Kazingo Boulevard mission from Halo 3 ODST on the next episode. This episode, we're debriefing Uplift Reserve from Halo 3 ODST. I'm your host, Colin Perkins, alongside David Arnold.
Hello, everybody.
And Krista Brown.
Get to the chopper.
Come on.
I'm not doing it this time. It was expected.
All right, last mission, Tayari Plaza. We slipped on the helmet of Gunnery Sergeant Edward Buck immediately after Alpha 9 crash lands inside New Mombasa. As Gunny heads out to locate and save his former girlfriend, ONI agent Veronica Dare, he discovers that New Mombasa has been overrun with Covenant soldiers. With a little help from the Marines scattered throughout the city, Buck discovers Dare's empty pod, his squad mate Romeo, and a new explosive alien with the Covenant within the Covenant ranks. This mission, Dutch shakes off the sand from his helmet after a beach landing and heads into the local nature reserve to rendezvous with some fellow Marines. We quickly hop a warthog, steal a ghost, or hijack a chopper, and head deeper into the Covenant invasion. After saving a squad of Marines, Dutch witnesses the devastating collapse of the space elevator. He manages to escape the chaos and finds himself in the heart of New Mombasa to continue his search for Alpha 9. Date of the game, this is all October 20th for ODST, 2552, and we're 30 minutes after drop, so it's 1600 hours, 36 minutes. And we'll dive into Dutch. What we're going to do is we're back in New Mombasa, or in Mombasa Streets mission, so we're gonna find the Dutch mission first. So we'll kind of take you back. As you recall, you know, they had a mini cutscene after finding Dare's helmet, and, you know, then you have all those street signs that light up. So now we're going to go find this next beacon within the mission. So the saxophone starts right away, gets you right back in the mood.
Oh, yeah, and that's some jazz.
Immediately starts Indifference to Darkness or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
This is my favorite theme. I love this one so much.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very good. It's such a great just the difference between the full on missions and then coming back into this hub world is great. Do you guys know if it starts you like every time, no matter what you pick up along the way? Do you always start with your SMG and pistol?
No, I started with the guns that I had.
Whatever I left, yeah.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Are you picking your missions as you go?
No, or... I'm doing a playlist in MCC.
Oh, it should remember.
So, no, I mean, happens. I started, I didn't think I ended with the SMG and pistol, but I started with it, so, yeah. Good to know that it does remember, but it could be a playlist thing, too, who knows.
Yeah, true.
But all those signs, you know, detours are pointing a certain way, so you kind of go back down to the plaza, that was Tayari Plaza there, where you found where the drop pod was, and so you can kind of go back down there and poke around. All of a sudden you see some signs that are directing you in a certain place, and you see, you know, you hear noises, and then, you know, you should have your visor on by now. So you kind of see something off in the distance. You walk by a transit machine spitting out tickets. There's like lots of things going on, and you're kind of drawn to this next area. Krista, do you want to kind of talk about what's going on here?
Sure. So there's obviously something trying to get your attention. You know, police sirens are going off, car alarms are going off, and as you walk towards them, all of the signs, like you said, all the signs around you start pointing you in a different direction. Machines are going haywire. And so you, so it's guiding you toward the middle tier of the Teriyaki Plaza.
Oh, God. Hey, come on.
It's delicious. And it guides you. And as you're walking down the stairs and all the machines are going crazy, you notice that a telephone station, payphone, I guess, is... Mm-hmm. What's a payphone? is glowing very, very, very yellow. And so if you go up to it, it says download. It's like download audio transcript. You press B to
hold
download it.
Press X, yeah.
And then it immediately starts an audio log. So these audio logs are found out throughout the hub world of Mombasa streets. There are 30 of them scattered everywhere. Sometimes they can be a pain to find, but most of them...
There's 29 in the streets.
29 in the streets and then one in the sheets.
I knew she was going to do something with that. I fucking knew it.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Don't be, it's Colin's fault. He knew what he was doing.
And so they're audio, but they also have, they're like comic book panels. And so if you open your HUD, there actually is some visual aids, I guess, to help with the story.
I've always just listened to it as I'm wandering the streets, but you can watch it as well. The visual aids are okay, but I feel like when you're listening to these,
like a storyboard,
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, like the moving comics kind of thing.
Well, not moving though. It's they're just panels.
Still? Okay. So they do a really good job at describing what's going on, even if you're not looking at the comics. So don't worry if you don't want to sit in the HUD and watch them, because they're a couple minutes apiece. But it tells the story about this girl named Sadie and what's going on prior and during the Covenant invasion and all that kind of stuff. So you get pieces of this as you go through the story, and it kind of gives you a background of what's going on in the city. And
just super
good,
cool.
That's a good recap. We're gonna do a special episode.
Yes, yeah, we're gonna do a standalone episode on all of these because there's a lot to go through, and we have to find them all. So
yeah.
And
we're not gonna find them all during this during the podcast. So it's up to you. You know, every time we get back to Mombasa Streets, maybe we'll talk about a couple things, or if one of us finds something interesting, I guess, with one of their locations. But we're not gonna walk you through all of them. There's plenty of places to find that on
the and just an important note, they are worth doing, not even just from a story, but there's a gameplay mechanic involved in collecting all of these. They unlock things in the real world, so now after this mission and before the next one, when you're in the streets, is the time to start looking and thinking about it if you want to do it, because it'll be worth it by the end of the game. Even if you're not interested in the story, just collecting them has a thing to do.
And also there's not an order to these, so like the first one you get will play the first audio log, the second one will play the second audio log, no matter which one you pick up.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, yeah. They're not in any specific order, so you're not going to get the ending. You're not going to wander around and then find a audio log 29 and you're going to get the ending of the story right away. It's always going to be the next chapter to unlock. So don't worry about getting them in any specific order. As you find them naturally, just find them. But just a note, there's no way of tracking which ones you've gotten unless you go to the location. So something that I personally like to do is I don't get any of them as I'm going, and I just get them all at once.
Yeah.
Because it's a pain in the ass, because you have to...
Once you unlock the full city.
Yeah, you have to... You get them... There's plenty of maps online that you can get, so you literally have to go to every location on the map to make sure you got the audio log. So it's a little easier to do it all in one sweep, instead of doing it scattered throughout the game.
Right. That's a good point. So yeah, definitely check those out. Like I said, we'll do a special episode about what's going on. The other kind of side story, and I think I mentioned it at some point during the podcasts, is Second Sunrise of New Mombasa is a graphic part of the Halo graphic novel. And that also tells a story about what's going on during the same time period. There might be a couple other stories that I'm not remembering, but Sadie's story specifically, because it's Halo 3 ODST, and then Second Sunrise is also another one that kind of gives you a little bit more background about the city specifically and what's going on during the invasion.
Does that have a certain journalist in it? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
I think there is, yes. I believe there is.
Yep. Was it in the Halo comic Marvel thing?
The graphic novel one.
Okay. Yeah, I know who that is. That's cool.
Yeah, there's some tie in there. We'll talk about that much later.
Much later.
Yes. All right. So find those, and then continue on. I was wandering around this area. I've been kind of taking it slow in Mombasa Streets, just because I do want to soak in as much as possible. And there's a lot of moments where I'm finding like, oh, I remember this kind of secret door area. So I might skip over some of that stuff, but as we're talking through the Mombasa streets, kind of the lead up to the main mission, you know, one of us will kind of chime in with anything that's interesting between, you know, point A where we left off and the start of the mission, point B. So another interesting encounter. So now after we've kind of started to find these terminals, the phones and whatnot, is that you're going into the kind of the darkness, and all of a sudden you hear some brutes are talking.
Yes.
And David, do you want to kind of talk about this encounter? This is kind of a cool one as well.
Is this? I forgotten about this. This is where they're talking about the Hurgok.
Yeah.
And so they pretty much spell it out for you if you're paying attention. Now you cannot pay attention, which is probably what I did most of the times I played this. I'm just engaged in the fight straight away. But I actually did hear it this time around.
Okay.
Because I was waiting for it. Essentially, they explain to you why these new aliens explode is the fact that they have explosives tied to them by the brutes to prevent them when any humans get too close, they blow up. So It's not their fault. This is because to stop them, pretty much these creatures, the engineers of the Hurgok, are kind of neutral and would probably very much defect if given the correct set of circumstances. Mm-hmm. Which we'll talk about
later. Yeah, because they're very logical, and we'll find out more about this stuff later on.
Exactly. So there are kind of achievements linked with not killing any of these in the campaign, so just beware.
There's an achievement for killing all of them, too.
Oh, yeah. There's one of both. Yeah.
So you can either kill none of them, or you can just murder all of them, and you'll still get a reward.
I was having trouble killing this one. Are they hard to kill?
Overcharged plasma. Yeah, they
can be.
Kills them instantly.
Gotcha.
So they buff all the enemies around them and give them like this uber shield, which is super annoying, which is the only reason why I would recommend killing them.
So that's the glowy shield that I saw
on
the roots.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that was cloak, and I was like, these guys aren't cloaked because something's going on here. I can see them very easily. That makes sense.
What is funny, though, is that sometimes there are brutes that are cloaked that have this shield on them, which makes them super visible. And it's you guys don't know what you're doing.
So that's a fun thing that you'll find throughout Mombasa streets as well. Another thing that I noticed here is that when you do have some encounters with the Covenant, is that those blockades, I guess is what you call them, like the street will kind of move up when you get near it, so it'll give you cover. Were you guys noticing that at all?
Yeah, no, actually leads you to an audio log if you follow them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because once you get past this brute encounter, like all these barriers keep coming up in front of you, and if you follow them, they'll lead you to another audio log.
Oh, okay, so that's not throughout the entire game, it's just for that specific audio log?
Yeah, it's just the game trying to get your attention and guiding you to an audio log. And I know it happens a couple times, but it's usually tied around the audio log. When the city looks like it's working, it's like stuff. Yeah, kind of glitching out and stuff like that, it's an audio log.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it was kind of fun to kind of discover that and like move away from it, and like this little blockade thing would go back into the street, and then you get closer to it, and it would pop back up. is happening?
You're
here?
Breaking the scene.
I kind of thought it was like the superintendent helping you. Do you know what I mean? As you go along,
that's what I
was assumed it was.
It was
not that it was actually story related.
Yeah, cool. It's guiding you to the audio log. Because I followed them because there's like a whole trail of them that you can follow.
Yeah,
that's very cool. I like that a lot.
So we're wandering around, and like I said, I'm not going to do an exact walkthrough. There's a couple of different encounters that you're gonna find, some dropships and things like that. You're eventually going to find your way to a square with a big smoking, abstract, weird-looking statue in the middle of it. And then, you know, you're close at that point. You're going to find, like, a sniper up top. But then the waypoint will pop up out on your screen, and you'll hear that pinging. That pinging again. Yep. That's actually a nice little, I guess a reward sound.
It means you're close to the bacon.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where is it?
It's so close. Get the bacon.
So you'll eventually pick that thing up. And is it what is it? Is it like a drone that?
It's a guidance. It's a drone. Isn't it like a guidance system from the plane that crashed?
The EVA thing, yeah.
They're drones. They're not planes.
Oh, okay.
Those things that are shooting across, I think.
So it's like a camera.
yeah, Buck comments about like, oh, we can probably find some of our guys. Some of these drones must have captured something. So these drones are like shooting across the city, obviously recording everything. And we get some scenes from them later on. But essentially, it crashes, and like this is like the a piece of it that falls off, and the rookie finds it, and leads you to the next story.
Yeah, then we get a back into the to the missions, the Uplift Nature Reserve, and we get to play as Dutch, which will be this is one of my favorite missions. I don't know, it's when I started it up, I was like, oh, this mission. I think I love this mission.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And it's it's a lot of fun to go through, as we'll walk through. But so that opening little cutscene, Chris, you just want to kind of give an overview quick?
Sure. Basically, Dutch gets out of his pod and then pulls out a Spartan laser. Yeah. The end.
Yeah.
Is that normal? He watches the jets fly over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It. Is that a normal thing for the ODSTs to have Spartan lasers? I mean, I guess. But are they...
Spartan lasers are just mac cannons, like handheld mac cannons.
Oh, is it?
No,
okay.
I think they're laser beams. I don't think they're mac cannons, are they? Yeah,
or is
I
always thought them as... Is the gauze the mac cannon, then?
The gauze is like a supercharged part of a thing. Yeah, it's like magnets. I'm pretty sure it's gauze, what gauze is, I think.
It is interesting
that... I'm
pretty
sure the Spartan laser is a laser.
It is interesting that ODSTs have a Spartan laser, because we've talked about this in one of the main shows of Evolved. It's the most expensive piece of equipment the UNSC has. Like, it's more expensive than a Warthog.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. It's very expensive.
Do you remember the background about how it's built off the top of your head or not? Like the technology?
It's something... I think it's something with magnets.
Oh, okay.
It's something with...
You sure, Christopher? I'm going
to
Google that.
I didn't really use it that much, to be honest. I mean, I think I just pitched it to the side. I might have used it to maybe take a Wraith out, but that was about it.
I gave it to a passenger, and I got my Warhawk.
Oh, you always do that. I always forget.
Yeah, I love supercharging my thing. But it turns out that a Marine's accuracy with this thing, super lame. Really? He missed so many. Like, he could not hit any ghosts or choppers. He could hit the Wraiths a little bit, but I literally had to sit still and let him charge up. And then most of the times they'd destroy me right after. It was like, oh, you're rubbish. They're way better with sniper rifles and rocket launchers.
So before we head up kind of into the nature reserve, I did a little wandering. I went back and checked out my drop pod, my Soyuz.
I did the same.
Pretty cool looking. Like, they do a good job on those things. And then you see the big building with like the flooding markers on it, which is cool too. You know, like 20 feet, 30 feet, 40 feet. And then I also drowned. Did you guys drown?
No.
Yep, drowning confirmed. I was like, let's just see if they'll let me swim. Nope, they did not. I just died.
Water is any Halo protagonist's worst enemy.
Instant death. So if you do check your HUD, the objective is lead a Warthog charge, clear hostiles in the park. And that's kind of exactly what you do. You kind of get up into the nature reserve, and you see all these Warthogs kind of spinning around, and a bunch of Marines, and you get to see some choppers and some ghosts and some race, and we get to have some fun vehicle time here. They also want you to flip a Warthog, which I thought was kind of weird.
They were very adamant about that Warthog, because I went straight for a ghost, and this guy just kept pestering me about flipping the Warthog. I'm like, no, leave me alone.
But can ODSTs flip a Warthog? I mean... I guess.
I think Warthogs just have a button that you push and they flip themselves.
Are you being facetious?
No, I just made that up. Yeah, I totally made that up.
I mean, I get it from a Spartan standpoint, like you're super strong, but it was interesting that they just kind of added that, yeah, you're on ODST, you can flip it up, you know, you can do that too. But, you know, whatever. It's still fun to do. What vehicle did you guys go with? I went with the Warthog for a while. I drove for a little bit. And then decided, no, I'm gonna go hop on the turret, and I had more fun on the turret. Krista, what'd you take?
I took a ghost. I had a ghost through most of this mission.
Okay. Oh, you didn't go for a Wraith?
No, not this time. It's harder to get the Wraith as an ODST because you can't punch when you get you can't punch when you board the Wraith. So there's not really...
It's a glitch, really, that lets you use them. The map isn't really designed for you to use Wraiths.
Yeah, so the thing is, in Halo 3 ODST... Well, in Halo 3, 3, when you're Master Chief, you can punch the cockpit of the Wraith so that the, like, cover pops off. And then you can snipe the driver out of the Wraith. So since you can't punch an ODST, you can't, like, that method is unusable to commandeer a Wraith. So I'm not sure you can commandeer a Wraith unless you just happen to get lucky and the driver dies or you accidentally get the cockpit open or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way to do it. I know I've seen people do it. One of the pieces of trivia is about that as well. Kind of like stuff you can do.
Okay.
Like this is the only level in the whole game that has choppers on it. There's an achievement for killing all the Wraiths in the mission, which is actually fun. Called a Wraith Killer.
So this, we haven't seen choppers before. Now's the time to talk about it, I guess. Do you guys know what a chopper is made out of?
A bunch of trash.
It's made out of a warthog.
Is it?
It's the original choppers were built in the Harvest Book. The engineers built them harvesting gear from Harvest. Like, they actually made them from, like, human stuff and built them.
Yeah, so it's made out of UNSC stuff, but vehicles. UNSC
well, they're made out of trash. They're just made out of just random parts that engineers can piece together.
I guess so. If you really want to use the trash analogy.
The trash.
I won't stop.
just random-ass trash. Because the engineers can do that. They could take a pile of trash and make a vehicle out of it.
Yeah.
But you can see, like, different parts. Like, you can, if you look at it, you kind of see, well, that looks like a fender from a Warthog, and I don't know. I think it's pretty cool how they... But it is. I think it's written in one of the books.
It's Harvest, I'm pretty sure.
How they describe that the engineers made them.
Pretty sure it's Harvest.
Contact Harvest?
Yeah.
It's a good book. Read it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, but don't drive the choppers. They're horrible.
Yeah. I mean, the only good thing about them is they kind of just mow through other vehicles.
Like, you can actually just ram them?
Yeah, you can ram them and explode ghosts and stuff like that.
Oh.
They can be fun.
But they just fire straight. That's the problem.
Yeah. Ghosts are much easier to maneuver and are a bit more flexible when it comes to your gameplay style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I drove one for a little while just for shits, but I've quickly switched over to a Warthog or a Ghost. Yeah,
they're very clunky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's cool that they're there. We need variety. And Halo has
it's nice to have trash that can kill you.
Yeah. The other thing I thought was weird is that because we really haven't seen Brutes driving Ghosts yet, that was kind of weird for me. Like, wait a minute, that's supposed to be like a Grunt or an Elite. But no, Brutes driving these bad boys. I didn't really have much trouble, you know, commandeering or taking out the drivers at all. Mm-mm. I don't know if that's just Halo experience or if it's just ODST in general, but taking out the vehicles wasn't too big of a deal. I did play kind of like a, I don't know, footsie with some of the Wraiths. I was trying to drive around the Wraith when I was driving the Warthog, and it would not let me get behind it. Because I think they say at one point, try to get behind the Wraith.
They do, yeah.
And that didn't work very well. Oh, well. All right, what else? It wants you to rendezvous with some Marines next. And it kind of felt like this area, if you played Halo 5, this area kind of feels like Warzone to me. Did you guys get that vibe at all?
I could see it.
I mean, you're kind of rolling deep with some, you know, some of your buddies, and you got, you know, got some other Warthogs on your side, and there's usually some Marines around, at least especially at the start of the area. And you're going to kind of towards the next objective, and I don't know. I felt like that was kind of cool. The on the comms kind of pops up, and it's a colonel, I believe, just asks where the rest of her squad is, and Dutch is not very optimistic. He says they're probably all dead. So he's just, and I'm sure that's just kind of a military mindset, right? Like, if you can't find your buddies, you just have to link up with the nearest allies and go from there. There's a point that Banshees show up. Do you guys know if you can hijack those Banshees?
No.
I didn't try.
No, you can't. Not on this.
Okay.
Well, you can.
You can?
And
they don't get close.
It's really tough, but it's more so for the next mission and how you do it. It's essentially the same as the way you talked about it with the Ray Crystal. You have to kill the pilot, but you have to be standing right beside the ship when you do it and hold down the button for boarding at the same time, the moment that the pilot dies.
Okay, so you're not you'll climb into it. Like, if you tried to do it the traditional way with skyjacking them, it will not work.
Oh, it won't let you skyjack. No. You won't be able to board them. The only way to do it is to actually shoot them, not melee them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and kill the pilot. And at the same time, you have to be up against it and holding the button to climb in. It's tough.
If I press A on a ghost, it just automatically works. So, I mean...
True.
That's a little easier.
So we continue on, and we start to see some shade turrets here. There's like this big kind of field, and then this road is going the other direction. For some reason, I really love this part of the level. It's just a cool level design to me. You kind of have to like go all the way down. So like there's like this hill that you can't quite get up, and so you have to go ahead and go all the way down to the left, and then hop either drive your car around or you can steal another ghost there at the end. And I love, we haven't really seen many shade turrets. Maybe in Reach we saw some shade turrets. But I love just blowing up shade turrets. It's so fun. It's so satisfying.
Yeah, right there where you find the first shade turrets, if you turn left, you can actually find some dead zebras without any eyeballs. That's like the only one. It's like two zebras located near the entrance.
Yeah, gotcha. And you can shoot them and blood comes out of them.
That's weird, Krista, but okay.
Yeah, you can like stand on top of them. And they're just dead zebras. We say zebras here.
Yeah.
Whatever, guys.
I like zebra though. That kind of sounds cool.
It sounds fancy.
I'm gonna start teaching my kids that there's zebras.
You gotta teach them like aluminium as well.
Yes.
You gotta make them really cool, and they're gonna be just all tell confused. Them to add "use" to every single word.
Whatever.
And to say "isn't it" at the end of it every time you'd make a joke. To say "isn't it." All right. What else here? So, the colonel does pop on the comms again. And he kind of asked Dutch what his primary objective, or Dutch asked what the primary objective is, because he's just kind of linked up with these Marines. He's like, all right, what are we supposed to do? The colonel says that they need to secure the landing zone where Regret made his slipspace jump, and he says specifically to snatch or obtain a tier one asset. I didn't look into it any further than that, and we'll probably get there soon. But it's just interesting that it does drop that. It just kind of mentions that along the way as you're just, killing the Covenant as you're used to.
And it's something so missable because at this point there's a lot of stuff going on the screen. Like, this level has a lot of enemies, a lot of vehicles, a lot of stuff. So all the dialogue is very missable in this. You really have to be paying attention.
Mm-hmm. So then we kind of get to the next area, and this area is awesome. It's like got that big hangar thing in the middle, big building, and there's just all sorts of vehicles, all sorts of chaos, all sorts of weapons to pick up. There's turrets to get.
Oh, it's super fun.
There's rocket launchers and snipers up top. There's a turret you can pop on. Like, there's a turret that you can't detach. It's like a big giant turret they can use.
This is also really a firefight map, isn't it?
Area? This is the firefight map. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is a great area. What's your approach here, David? Do you try to clear everybody out? I mean, I guess a lot of these missions you can just, fly through, as we always talk about. But I suck around and try to clear out most of the area.
Oh, I always clear it out. I don't really have any, like, this one in particular, I try and do different things all the time. Like, as soon as you get in the area, I always get out of the hog and pick up the sniper rifle right there. I try and snipe what I can, clear out the turrets. You need to be careful because there are raids in the background that are just lobbing mortars and they will hit you. Like, they'll eventually get a bead on you pretty fast. So I normally empty the sniper, get back in my Jeep. Sometimes I go straight for the heavy weapons. Sometimes I just go around in my Jeep and mince through enemies and stuff like that. There's reinforcements come in and drop in. A Phantom will drop off a bunch of brutes. Some gold brutes as well will drop in. They're kind of like the majors. They're kind of beefcake guys. And there's two raids here. It's pretty fun. I've done it a few different ways, but generally, like, driving is hella fun. And like I said, there's loads of rocket launcher ammo, loads of sniper. Yeah. Like, you can really do kind of whatever you want. You've got the vehicles, the heavy weapons. You can sit and wait and let the enemies kind of come to you in waves. But the two wraiths will never really come that far forward. So you're going to have to take the fight to them, which is pretty fun. So you can either go up the hill where all the shade turrets were, or you can go around to the right and kind of, like, take your vehicles that way. It's cool. Krista, there's a lot of options.
Any difference, Krista, that you do? Anything that we missed?
I did something similar this time. When I entered the area, I immediately got out, picked up the sniper rifle. I still had the Spartan laser at the time, so I lasered both of the wraiths.
Oh, nice.
And then just went picking off, headshotting all the drivers and all the shade turrets. Once I ran out of ammo, I moved to that big building in the middle with all of your friends there. Picked
all the goodies.
Yeah, I picked up I restocked all my ammunition there and then just pushed forward.
Nice.
And I had a ghost, so I was running around with a ghost as well.
Yeah, this is like a perfect mission for a ghost.
It is. I mean, it's not, really
almost
nice.
Every mission is, but it's a great ghost mission.
Another way I usually do this mission is make a beeline straight for that building and then just hold out there the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and do the Covenant rush you that much in the building?
The vehicles will circle the building if you're on top, but usually the enemies don't actually come into the building.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone's either in a vehicle or they're on a shade turret up on that hill. Right. Yeah, so you can pretty easily snipe or use a rocket or something and take out a majority of the enemies without leaving that building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's like some loose jackals here and there, but for the most part.
I mean, jackals are just one hit.
Yeah. Cool. So we kind of go on to the next place here. We drive up or we drive around, I guess, either up top or drive around and through that little, there's like a little tunnel thing, I think. But then, so you get up to the bridge and that's where you see the space elevator collapse. That's pretty crazy.
I don't think we've talked about space elevators at all because this is the first time we've seen one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so cool. It's the first time you've seen one.
Maybe it was in Halo 2.
Yeah. Yeah, you would have seen it in a cutscene, but I don't think that they ever really talked about it that I can think of. But it's a really cool thing to see. And even just the concept of it is pretty cool. Everyone kind of knows what a space elevator is. And they feature pretty regularly in Halo lore. Like, there's a lot of planets and a lot of kind of like places that
in
have
other
these
books,
kind of space elevators.
Yeah, there's mention of space
you
elevators.
Even ride on one later in the series.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
oh,
you do.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah. Call,
they're pretty important. It's just kind of an easy way. A lot of ships aren't actually able to go out of orbit because they can't. The pressure of entering orbit is just not something these ships are handled. So the way to board these ships is to go up in the space elevator, which usually leads to a space station, usually connected to some kind of space station or port or something like that. And then you can get on the ships from there or, you know, load cargo or something like that. It's an easy way to get things up into space without having to take ships back and forth, which is a lot of fuel to get in and out of atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. The Colonel pops on the comms again, and he seems to be dying, or he's in trouble.
He might have been hit by some of the rubble.
Yeah.
That's what I thought so, too. I thought it was like, you know, you can't breathe because it's all dust in the air from this, like, massive construction that just collapsed down on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Also, I'm getting a little ahead, but after you see this happen, the next time you're in Mombasa streets, you see a lot of the debris as you're walking through the streets. Like, they kind of highlight it as you're walking through the streets next time. So, it's kind of cool to see the collapse and then the devastation on the city.
Yep. Yeah, this game in general just does a great job of that, but that's a good point. So the objective is to then try to find him, and we continue driving through, and there's like a ridge where there's a bunch of shade turrets in a row that you can just either, you know, take your time and try to take them out or just kind of cruise by them, and then you'll reach the top of that ridge or that hill is a purple platform, which is where and there's a lot of Covenant right up there. They must have just set up shop right up top there. And there's a wraith that's blocking the path forward. So this area, you do have to be a little bit more careful in this area. You can't just cruise past. I'm sure you can on easier levels, but I feel like I needed to you know, take out some of the choppers, take out some of the jackals that were sniping me before I went around and finally at least addressed the wraith. Krista, do you take your time here at all?
I still had a Spartan laser at this point.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, because
you're efficient.
Yeah. You find a second one. I think you find a second one in that building, aforementioned building before the collapse of the space elevator. Mm-hmm. So I grabbed a new one. So I took out the Wraith and then just kind of mopped up everything else with the Ghost.
Gotcha. David, anything different?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, I had like my souped up Warthog at this moment, so I kind of just drove in.
Shop. What is that big platform? Did you guys make heads or tails of that?
Some kind of landing platform,
that's
right?
That's the gravity lift.
It's like from Halo 1.
CE. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. This is what this should look like with proper cool graphics and stuff. This is it. It's the same.
So that's where the ship regret was?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's where we're supposed to snatch this tier 1 asset, or kind of right around there, I guess.
According to the kernel. Yeah. I'm not sure what that is.
I think we might talk about that later, so we won't spoil anything.
Okay.
All right. So you finally get past that area, and then a matter of there's another big area that you kind of get up to. With some more race and some more covenant up, and you can in that part, I just ended up driving past everybody. It's kind of tougher, at least in my experience, if you actually sit there and take your time. I tried doing that a little bit, and I got taken out from some snipers, I think, or some brutes. So I was just like, all right, F it. I'm just gonna cruise past all this, and ended up making that jump off the ledge to end the mission. Do you guys clear the area out, David? Do you just cruise past everything?
Oh, I clear it out. Always clear it out. Yeah.
You guys typically do.
There's some cool marine chatter here. That's pretty kind of cool. Oh, okay. If you do clear it out and hang around, there's a couple of marines that are kind of like holed up there. And they got some funny dialogue and stuff like that and some heavy weapons. And it should be like a full health Warthog if you need to swap out, which I did.
Oh, gotcha. That makes sense. This cutscene, apparently, I don't know if you're gonna touch on this, David, or not, but you can jump off that a couple different ways with a couple different vehicles or no vehicle.
Oh yeah, I do have some trivia on that. You can jump off it with no vehicle, and you'll get the Warthog. Any vehicle you have will appear in the cutscene, so Chopper, Ghost, or the Warthog.
That's cool.
But when the next mission loads up, the next mission loads up, it's always a wreckage of a Warthog, so that's like the canonical choice, as it will. And there's a cool thing where if you have marines with you, they're not there when you make the jump, but if you stop before you jump, they actually get out and like run off, like they actually get out of the Warthog and let you drive over the edge, which is pretty cool.
Oh yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, it's a cool area. It's got some raids. It's got some fusion cannons being thrown at you from brutes and stuff like that, and some snipers. Is it? It's a cool little ending, kind of climax.
Yeah, I think so too. And then Dutch just talks about what God not being a pilot. I think
please God tell me I'm not gonna do any more flying today or something like that.
Okay.
And then the drone crashes.
Yeah.
Is that a yes or a no?
Oh, right.
And then the Warthog or Ghost explodes. It's a very humorous scene. It's very funny.
Yeah. So I didn't get a good sense. Actually, before, maybe queue up one of you guys to look up the community questions quick. David, you want to do that quick?
Sure.
Discord and Facebook. There wasn't a whole bunch of response on Facebook, so maybe just do the Discord one, see if there's anybody that said anything.
Discordo.
But you didn't, like, Dutch is a cool-looking character.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get a really good sense of his personality from this mission. Did you, Krista? Do you feel like you know Dutch better by playing as him?
No, he's just a wisecracker. And I feel like during the course of this game, some characters are definitely more highlighted than others.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if you want to get to know more about the squad as a whole, you have to kind of do some reading. You have to read the books.
Yeah. Is he supposed to be kind of, I mean, I guess Reach was done after this game, but is he supposed to be kind of like Jorge? George?
Maybe? Like the heavy weapons guy?
Yeah, like he's a big dude, right?
Yeah, I think he is, because, I mean, he landed with the Spartan laser, so, yeah. I think
he's like the heavy weapon specialist, because Mickey's the explosives, the rookie's the rookie, Romeo's the sniper, and Buck then is the leader. I think that's their kind of classifications.
Gotcha. But I didn't get like a real, like maybe a little bit with his dialogue. It was like, you know, he assumed everybody was dead, so let's just keep going. I didn't really get a a similar kind of badass vibe from him.
He's like the tough guy of the group.
But maybe we do a little bit more later, and I'm just forgetting. So
once this, like, I feel like later in the game you get a little bit more, but I feel like not all the characters get an equal amount of attention throughout the game.
Yeah, but he's also in the comic, and I feel like he's a little more of a hard ass in the comic.
Yeah.
So if you did read that Helljumper, you get a good sense of his personality. But this mission specifically doesn't really.
It's too shooty bang bang.
Yeah, there's just a lot going on. There's tons of chaos, and like you said, there's some interesting dialogue and some comm chatter that if you're not really paying attention to that, you'll miss out on part of the story. Some key little elements of the story. All right, I did ask a quick community question. David, did you find that at all yet?
I did. Colin Brookins wrote in various places, Dutch chose the Skull and Crossbones emblems for his ODST armor. What would you wear on yours? Reflex Rain said, like tribal paint theme with tallies for every high kill.
That's rank. Good.
I kill on the field, that's pretty cool. Math says, something goofy like a smiley face. I want enemies to see me come in and confuse as I murder them.
Also good.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty cool. Bigfoot, that reminded me of Andy the Bomb for some reason, which is funny. And Aaron said he had the same emblem up till Halo 5. Really hope we move back to making our own.
Oh, so he cool. had the Skull and Crossbones?
He had that, yeah, for a good bit.
So he's a heavy weapons guy, Aaron is, I take it.
Aaron, he might be. He likes the big men. Wise Man said he'd have an aim higher on the groin play. So good job, Wise Man.
Yeah.
Consequently, Dutch, his armor, his faceplate's pretty cool with like the shark teeth on it. I really like that. I thought that was pretty cool. His helmet looks awesome.
Do you guys have an emblem that you would throw on your chest? Like
in ODST?
Well, just in general. I guess I'm forgetting the customization options, but
there was there was a chest and shoulder. But it was the same. That was my, more or less, my Halo emblem was always the same. It was like the paw print. Or I think in one of the games it became like a brute head that was from the side. It was like a draw. Like that was either I used to dabble between those two of just like the paw print, to go with my gamer tag more so, because thinking of any other reason, it's like Cerberus. So I'm like, okay, I'll do like a dog thing.
Oh yeah,
that's kind of just it was just themed in my head, and that made sense.
Krista, anything you do?
So I was like Aaron and had pretty much the same emblem. Because they always give you that, like, it's kind of round, but it's got spikes on it. Mm-hmm. So I would always do that one, and then, like, a smaller spiky one inside and or something like that. I forget exactly what it was, but it was, like, the spiky, multicolored thing that I usually went with.
Nice. I think I've bounced between, like, a lone wolf symbol or... it looks like the side of a castle or something like that. Like a, I don't know, big wall. I don't know. Whatever. Sounds lame.
I got a castle. Really
I got a castle wall on my chest.
I got the Disney castle so people know I'm cool. I got the pass holder sticker for Disney World. Everyone must know.
All right, let's do any trivia or anything else you guys want to talk about, and then let's leave.
No, I've
let's
pretty leave much...
the people alone.
Yeah, I've pretty much done all the trivia that is for this. It's a relatively short mission, but the next mission's way shorter. It's a good mission. I like it a lot. There's tons to do and see in it. Loads of weapons, loads of vehicles. It's probably the biggest, kind of most bombastic kind of mission you kind of get in terms of the variability throughout the mission that you get. And the next one kind of ties into it very well, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else you want to touch on, Krista?
Things go boom!
Lots of things. Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
I love just messing around this mission. It's very fun. All right. That will do it for our debriefing of Uplift Reserve from Halo 3 ODST. On the next episode, we are going to cover Kazingo Boulevard. Send us your thoughts at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet, podcastevolved on Twitter. Until next time, evolve.
Evolved.
Evolved.
The next one.